Good morning. My name is Corbin. I have the honor of being your liturgist today. Okay. Now join me in scripture, please. Now the Lord was going to take Elijah up to heaven in a windstorm, and Elijah and Elisha were leaving Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, because the Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as you live, I won't leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The group of prophets from Bethel came out to Elijah. These prophets said to Elijah, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today?" Elijah said, "Yes, I know." "Don't talk about it," Elijah said. "Elijah, stay here, because the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But Elijah said, "As the Lord lives and as you live, I won't leave you." So they went to Jericho. The group of prophets from Jericho approached Elijah and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today?" He said, "Yes, I know. Don't talk about it." Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, because the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as you live, I won't leave you." So both of them went on together. 50 members from the group of prophets also went along, but they stood at a distance. Both Elijah and Elisha stood beside the Jordan River. Elijah then took his coat, rolled it up, and hit the water. Then the water was divided in two. Both of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "What do you want me to do for you before I'm taken away from you?" Elijah said, "Let me have twice your spirit." Elijah said, "You've made a difficult request. If you can see me when I'm taken from you, then it will be yours. If you don't see me, it won't happen." They were walking along, talking, when suddenly a fiery chariot and fiery horses appeared and separated the two of them. Then Elijah went to heaven in a windstorm. Elisha was watching, and he cried out, "Oh, my father, Israel's chariots and its riders." When he could no longer see him, Elijah took hold of his clothes and ripped them in two. Please join me in scripture. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the desert of Judea, announcing, "Change your hearts and lives. Here comes the kingdom of heaven." He was the one of whom Isaiah the prophet spoke when he said, "The voice of one shouting in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way for the Lord, make his paths straight.'" John wore clothes made of camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. People from Jerusalem, throughout Judea, and all around the Jordan River came to him. As they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. "I baptize with water those of you who have changed your hearts and lives. The one who is coming after me is stronger than I am. I'm not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The shovel he uses to sift the wheat from the husks is in his hands. He will clean out his threshing area and bring the wheat into his barn. But he will burn the husks with a fire that can't be put out." At that time, Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan River so that John would baptize him. John tried to stop him and said, "I need to be baptized by you, yet you come to me." Jesus answered, "Allow me to be baptized now. This is necessary to fulfill all righteousness." So John agreed to baptize Jesus. When Jesus was baptized, he immediately came up out of the water. Heaven was open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God coming down like a dove and resting on him. A voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I dearly love. I find happiness in him."
Let us pray. Lord God, we are here to receive your message. We're here because we know that we're not perfect. We have need for change. We have need to be challenged. We have need to be transformed. Lord, it is your Spirit that transforms not only the mind and the heart, but the soul. Lord, allow your words to penetrate into our souls today, that we may become more like Jesus, more like you. And all the beloved said, amen. So today we're continuing our sermon series, Beach Reads. And today the title is The Next Generation. We heard how Elijah passed the mantle to Elisha and how Jesus comes to fulfill his ministry by receiving a ministry from John. And we realize that passing the torch to the next generation, that transition of leadership, that's giving away your authority to someone else, can be incredibly daunting. Asking someone else to do something you've held dear to your heart and have been doing for a long time and trusting that they will do it well, even if it's just cleaning a house. For every woman in here, cleaning your house and your husband comes in and you're like, "I don't like the way you did that," and you just go behind and neatly start cleaning up after them. It's easy to hold on to things that we like to do that we're good at instead of training someone else to do it well. However, the scripture today reveals that God's plan always involves us teaching someone else, giving it on, passing on the torch. When we look at the transition between Elijah and Elisha in 2 Kings and the preparatory work of John the Baptist to Jesus in Matthew, we find a powerful blueprint for how we can intentionally invest in and trust and empower the next generation to carry the gospel forward. The relationship between Elijah and Elisha was not by accident. When Elijah's praying and praying to God for help, God tells him, "Go anoint Elisha to be the next prophet and go anoint Jehu to be the next king." And then Elijah, when he meets Elisha, all he does is he's walking by and just smacks him over the head with his mantle and keeps walking. A mantle's a cloak. For all of us that didn't know, I don't want to assume that. For the longest time, I thought mantle was a rod. So he walks by and smacks this kid over the head with a rod. But it's cloak. And then Elisha jumps up immediately. "Lord, what do you have to do with me? I'm just a shepherd. I'm not even the shepherd that owns the land. I'm just the farm help, the ranch hand. What do you want from me?" And Elisha just keeps walking and doesn't answer. So Elisha just keeps following. And years later, as Elijah is time to depart, and Elisha knows that his master's leaving, Elijah asks him, "What do you want from me?" When's the last time we ask someone that we're teaching, "What do you want from me? What's your purpose here? Why have you been following me so long? What's your end game? What's your goal? What's your desire? What's your purpose?" In this, we can take a lesson from the Pharisees. I know the Bible usually speaks ill of them in their positions of power, but there was one thing they did really well. They proselytized. They taught the next generation. In order to follow a Pharisee, what you would do is you would be given to mimic their daily life. When they got up to pray at 6 a.m., you would pray and pray the prayers that they taught in the exact words that they said. When they fasted, you would fast. When they read scripture, you would read scripture. To the point where when you were fully following this person, it was almost as if you became that person. And you would also take their name. I am the disciple of so-and-so. That's why it was such an importance when Paul said, I sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He was going to take on the seat of Gamaliel, who was one of the head people in the Sanhedrin, which was the leader of the Pharisees. But as they're drawing near, as they're departing, and Elijah asks Elisha, what do you want? Elisha says, Lord, give me a double portion. What you had was great for your generation, but this next generation needs more. When your generation went, the only news they received was from the television or the radio. Now they have access to media all day long, 24/7, 7 days a week. It's right there in the hand. Lord, give me enough spirit that I can minister to them through this, apart from this, that they can be turned off from the world for a minute and they can receive God. But for that, I need more. And Elijah says, well, I'm heading to Bethel first. Just wait here. And he begins to walk on. And Elisha says, no, I need to follow you, Lord. As I followed you for these last several years, let me follow you again. And he follows him. And Elijah tests him again. Well, here I'm being called to Jericho. No, Lord, I'll follow you again to Jericho. Well, now I'm going to Jordan. And Elijah again says, as the Lord lives, I will not leave you. And then Elijah says, well, if you truly want a double portion, if it's truly the Lord's will, then you will see me go. How do we watch for us, the next generation? How do we watch the people before us? This isn't just a message about how you give, but how are you receiving? We have to receive mentorship. We have to receive a teacher. We have to be able to receive instruction. What are we receiving? Are we following them? Are we doing what they did? Are we saying, I don't like that bad example, I only follow the good example? We need to be circumspect. And Elisha followed Elijah. And he sought to carry on to the next generation. Elijah took time and invested. He took time and space to not only say, this is what you say, but I'll be a good character. I'll be someone you can follow. To where when you see the words and hear the words coming out of my mouth, you know they're words of love, words of kindness, words of unity. They're not words of destruction. When you see how I act to the least of these, you'll see me acting with compassion. When you see me acting to the most of these, you'll see me acting as a position of authority to those who see themselves in authority. That I will treat the least of these the same as Jesus would. You'll see authenticity. You won't see someone who's double-minded. You won't see doubt. And yes, that's not saying that we're perfect, but we're teaching other people to be more than. This radical release to the point where immediately when Elisha left, what did he drop? That first thing he struck him over the head with, he dropped his mantle. And the first thing Elisha does is Elisha grabs the mantle. And instead of going down and crossing the same way that they crossed to get over where they walked on dry land to their spot, he walks over to the river and he smacks it in the name of my Lord Elijah, dry. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And he smacks the waters and the waters separate and he walks across dry land. He immediately tested the power that he was given. He was tested the authority that he was given. He was testing himself. Is this the right gospel message? Am I equipped? Do I have enough to give it? Let me start with this simple task. And let's be honest, performing miracles and splitting water and parting it and walking on dry land isn't a simple task, but that was his first thing. And then right after that, he was tempted by these other people, naysayers, people on the sidelines. You're not good enough. You don't have what it takes. Oh, don't you realize the Lord God's taken Elijah? Who do you have now, Elisha? Where's your God now? But we can look back and say, my Lord God that was with Elijah is the same the Lord God that was with me. And he just allowed this to happen. And he begins to fill his ministry. And I don't know if we got any math nerds in here, but if you go and you look at the scriptures of all the miracles that Elijah performed and you count them out, and then you go to the miracles that you see Elisha doing and you count them out, Elisha performed twice as many miracles as Elijah. And Elisha's final miracle was when he was already deceased and his bones were in the ground. And these young robbers, they're going in, they're trying to steal stuff, and one of the robbers dies, and they cast his dead body upon the bones of Elijah, and that young man is raised from the dead. And it shows that the final act, the final miracle of Elisha, was not only to restore death to life, but restore the lost, those who did ill to other people, to restore them back to Christ, to restore them back to a God that loves them. And that's the message, the unchanging message of the gospel, that all people are worthy of transformation, that all people are worthy of a God that loves them. And the second gospel reading we read this morning, it speaks that same message. That John, when he was baptizing people, it was a baptism into repentance. It wasn't a baptism unto a church, unto a congregation, unto a denomination. It was a baptism of repentance that all people were welcome to. And as John's baptizing, he's preaching about Jesus coming. And John ends it with his sermon with, I'm not fit to loose his sandal. And then enter stage right, Jesus. The man who was just talking about who, I'm not worthy to loose his sandal. And Jesus says, hey, but you need to baptize me. And John says, oh no, Lord, I have need to be baptized of you, and you come to me to be baptized? And Jesus says, this is meant to be so to fulfill all righteousness. Now, we may not look at John the Baptist and Jesus being of different generations. They were only 4 months apart. But they were. Their message was different generations. Jesus came to complete the message that John was preaching. Repent. Be born again. And Jesus' message, now be filled with God. It's not just about seeking forgiveness. It's about being filled. And God the Father himself gave affirmation to this righteous act. For as Jesus came out of the water, the Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove. And God cried out from heaven, saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. John immediately began to subside. And when his disciples and when others came to test him and said, why is it that Jesus is baptizing more people than you are? Why is it that Jesus has more followers than you do, John? You're supposed to be the great prophet. The voice in the wilderness crying and preparing the way and making the path straight. Who are you making the path straight to? You don't have anyone left. What was John's reply? I must decrease, he must increase. As our ministry begins to dwindle because the person that's following after us is doing the right thing and their ministry's increasing, let us not proclaim in pride and say, oh, I have to do better. Let us proclaim with that same humility, I must decrease. as we hand over the responsibility of a congregation, of a church, we must decrease. In the Methodist church, we do this about every 4 years with our pastors. They switch on and they go somewhere else, and it's really, sometimes really hard to let go. We've developed a really good relationship with that pastor, and we have this desire, let me call them. Let me seek advice from them. I pray their answer when you call them is, no, I must decrease. You have a pastor. Call your pastor. We have to trust the next generation. And it's not trusting that person. It's trusting the Spirit of God that put that person there. It's loving that person enough, loving God enough to say, God, you know what's best for me. You brought this person here. Let me entrust them. Let me bring my woes into them and let me be comforted through them. The old way wasn't good enough. God always brings something new. It did its purpose in its time and it fulfilled its ministry in its time. But it's time to bring something new. Lord, allow us to be open to whatever that newness is. Allow us to trust you and to trust the message of Christ and to trust that that message will continue and it will resonate through those who come after. Let us be bold in our love to realize that our journey as we step down from positions is not over, but it's a new way to serve. It's sometimes easier to try to step in and interfere and continue the work, but sometimes our call is to step back and to pray for those that are doing it. And as we watch them fail in our own way of failure, what we see as failure, because they're not doing exactly the way we would do it, let us pray for them that God will continue to work through them, that this gospel message may go over forward. For we're in this together. No one is being left behind. Our ministry changes. And we have to prepare people to take on those responsibilities. And as we take on different responsibilities, let us pray. Lord God, it is you who brought us here. It is you who empowers us. It is you that leads your message through us. Lord, let us of the next generation pick up and learn from those prior, and let those of the previous generation begin to educate and lead the next. Lord, your gospel message is always moving forward. Give us the power and the humility at the same time to both give and receive, to step back when it's time to step back, and to pick up a new ministry as it's time to pick up. Lord, help us to transition, that others may follow you and be led closer to you. And all the beloved said, Amen.